Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the pod. Hope you're doing well. I know it's been about a month since I've last posted, and I was on such a roll. I was posting every week since January, but then the chaos that is the end of a semester came through, and yeah, it's kind of just been on the back burner. So really want to focus on it a bit more this year and just, you know, post weekly and have a consistent schedule. But life happens, obviously, so anyways, today we have a guest episode with Sion Camille, and she's somebody I've met through Instagram, like many of the guests I have on here. One of my favorite things about social media is the connections. I've said it so many times. And we actually met this year in person when I went to LA. We had a cute little double date situation, which was fun. And both of our boyfriends are Canadian and they're Cancers. So we're like, you know what? Let's just do this. It was a lovely time. And yeah, we have been following each other for a while. And I've always admired just how creative she is and the different outlets that she shows that creativity. So she writes poetry, she does really cool edits with her TikToks and videos because she studied film. So really just amazing, inspiring content, and talks a lot about her healing journey and healing her inner child. Just a lot of the same things and the same wavelength of what I'm going through, what we're going through. So I thought it would be really fun to have her on the podcast, given that this is mental health focused and I always want to bring some sort of value to your life. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you do, feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple and share it on your story, share it with your friends. It really helps the podcast grow. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Sion Camille. Hi everyone, I'm here with Sion Camille. I'm sorry if that's not how you pronounce your last name, but how are you? I'm so excited that you're here.
No, you got it. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
My name is Sion Camille. I'm from a coastal town of Los Angeles. Should I just jump into?
Yeah, go for it. I'm like, yeah. I'm snapping here. Like, go for it.
I'm ready. I have a background in teaching yoga, and I went to school in San Francisco for media studies and film. I also have a podcast called Apricity. Apricity means the warmth of the sun in the winter. It was just a word that I found on Pinterest one day, and I was like, that's the one. I'm naming my podcast that. And it's really just a diary of things I've learned or am currently learning in my healing journey thus far. When I was younger, I felt things very deeply, and I thought I was the only one in the world who just felt things so intensely, and I just wanted to provide a space for people to feel seen and heard and like they're not alone. I also have guests on sometimes, so you definitely need to come on. We could do
a really good
episode.
I know. Yeah. I was actually listening to one of your episodes yesterday, the one on the fig tree, because I also like read The Bell Jar when I was younger, and I was like, okay, I want to kind of revisit this. And like, it's just, it had been a long time. Oh my God, it was such a good episode. I was like, I need to hear this right now. And just like both of us, or I feel like a lot of people that I've even met online, or maybe even you've met, we all have like so many dreams and so many passions. And sometimes I'm just like, okay, well, what do I pick? And it's really hard. So yeah, anybody who needs another podcast that's like very healing focused and just like all the good things, definitely check out Sion's podcast. I'll link it in the show notes.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think we kind of live in this day and age where people think they have to be one thing, but social media is so great because you just have access to kind of create anything you want. And I think that's what both of us have done.
100%. And I think when our parents were like deciding what to do in that generation, they were kind of like, they chose a job and they stuck with it for, I don't know, 20 years. And like, it's changing, but I feel like that mentality was kind of ingrained in us, you know, when we were in school, and it was like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it wasn't like, what different things do you want to be when you grow up? It was always like, find that one. So yeah, I really love how you emphasize that. Today, I want to talk more about healing and sort of your journey, because I think it's something that a lot of my listeners are going through. I'm even still going through it. I came to a realization maybe like a few months ago that I always like felt like I was healed. Like I was like, oh, okay, I've done all this work and I'm done. But then I'm just like, no, it's a lifelong process. And it was one of those like aha moments where I always want to like get to something and like cross it off my to-do list and just have that goal be checked. But this is such a just like funny topic where you can't approach it that way, even if you are maybe more type A or something. So in terms of your healing journey, when did you realize it was the start of a time where you had to prioritize yourself and take care of yourself? Was there kind of that one aha moment, or was it sort of more gradual?
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said about how you were like, I thought I was healed, but I have more to do. And I think that that's kind of life, right? Like we always are like, okay, I think I've reached the point that was my goal at one point, but then you're like, oh, there's more under this, or there's more that I can learn. And I think that has been my journey for sure. It's definitely happened in layers, but I'll kind of walk you through, I think, like the major ones, the major points. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Okay, great. Yeah. So I think my first time I really realized that I needed some type of support was actually when I was 14. And I told my parents that I needed to see a therapist. So I like love what you're doing on social media, because I think that, you know, mental health, it is becoming more of a talked about topic. It is becoming less taboo. But when I was younger, it wasn't. It definitely was pretty embarrassing. It was something mm-hmm. that you kind of thought there was something wrong with you. I don't know if you've had a similar experience to that.
Yeah, honestly, for me, I feel like I could have used therapy way earlier in life. But since my parents are immigrants, like just embedded in the culture is like, just like suck it up, you know, and like, you're fine. Like you don't need anybody else's help. I think also the fact that immigrants like often sacrifice so much to come to a new country and all of that, it kind of felt like I was guilty in a way for feeling bad. It's like, no, I should be, you know, happy because I'm living this dream life here. So I think for me, I just kept a lot of it inside. And I think that's stuck with me for a long time, where even now in a relationship, I still struggle to like open up and kind of not deal with everything myself. Yeah, I don't know if you've like experienced anything similar where it's just like so hard to open up, because even though it's less taboo now, it's still a little hard to talk about any of these things and be vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely, it took me years to really realize like I need help, and no one in my family ever talked about that type of stuff. Like my parents, best parents I could have asked for, they gave me the best childhood. I'm so thankful for them, but they grew up in a time where it was very much like pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like you have everything that you could need. You have a roof over your head, you have food, you go to a good school, like you can't ask for more, right? And when I was 11, I went through a pretty severe trauma. I was hospitalized for a month. I got into a really bad accident and I had to relearn how to walk on one of my legs. So when you're 11, you don't really have the emotional intelligence to know what's happening to you. I definitely was very disconnected from my body, and I was still very much in fight or flight when it was happening. I was like just trying to get through the day. I was thinking about this conversation prior to this conversation, I was thinking like what helped me when I was in the hospital and how I kind of handled it and what I was thinking. And I just spent my days reading books. Like my dad would come and drop off books and it was like The Click, Pretty Little Liars, like nothing like healing. But I think it was the first time that I really saw art as a form of healing and as a place that people can kind of seek refuge, because I couldn't do anything. And my body felt very separated from my mind at the time. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward a couple years and I've like relearned how to walk. I started middle school like a month after I'd gotten out of a wheelchair. So it was just a lot going on at once. And I was just like very happy-go-lucky, but I definitely knew that something had happened to me that didn't happen to a lot of people my age. And so I ended up developing an autoimmune disease from just the amount of stress that was on my body. And I was very like, that book, The Body Keeps the Score, is so true. I don't know.
I've read that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very true. Like we hold on to, when we don't process like really difficult emotions, our bodies hold on to them. And that was what had happened to me. And so I didn't get diagnosed with my autoimmune disease immediately, which was really challenging because I was like 13 years old. I had gotten my period like a year before, but it was already irregular. I have hypothyroidism and PCOS, which can really affect your hormones. They're mm-hmm. both hormone imbalances. So I was playing soccer at the time and I noticed that I had gained weight and I was playing super competitive soccer. So I was like, okay, I'm slowing down on the field. I used to be someone who started, I'm benched. I already have like my leg that I'm having trouble with, like still having pain. And so my body just felt very separate from me. Like I didn't feel connected to my body at all. And that led to me trying to seek control in other areas of my life, which ended up being disordered eating, you know, restricting food intake, not really knowing I was like not doing it to get to a certain weight, but just so I could like feel healthy in my body again. But obviously like it was unhealthy. It was like, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, which I think a lot of people who struggle with disordered eating have that, where it's like, they didn't even know what they were doing until they were already doing it.
I mean, even for me, I've gone through it and it's just like, you think you're being really healthy and you think you're really helping yourself. And when you're in the thick of it, it's just like so easy to block out maybe anything, any comments from anybody else that maybe are having some like yellow flags there, or anything that you read on the internet that reinforces what you're doing, you'll like gravitate towards that and just have that like confirmation bias and like just a sense of control of like what I'm eating, how I'm working out. It's like those little choices or those big choices even that you gain that sense of control if things in your life are running amok and you're just like, I don't have anything else. In terms of your weight gain, was that connected with your autoimmune that you didn't know about? And you were just like, why is this going on?
Yes. Mm. So because I was restricting my food intake, my weight gain wasn't crazy, but it was enough that it was like, I was noticing it and like my family was noticing it. And so the first thing that a doctor says when you go and see a doctor and you're like, I have gained a little bit of weight, they're like, okay, exercise more, eat less. I think maybe now the conversation has changed a little bit, but at that age, like that was what I was told. So I was like, okay, got it. Exercise more, eat less. And I ended up just running my hormones into the ground. When my period was irregular at 13, I was put on birth control, which is just crazy because I wasn't having sex. I wasn't sexually active. And I had no idea about like food as medicine, using food to heal your hormones. And my parents didn't know about any of this either. Like everyone was just doing the best they could, you know?
100%. I think, I don't know. I also was put on the pill, but it was to like heal acne. And so there was sort of that motivation where I was like, honestly, yes, I will take anything to fix my skin. If it's a Band-Aid solution, I don't care. Like I was younger where I didn't really research into the pill and sort of accepted it because I just didn't want to do Accutane in that route. And then it worked. Like it healed my skin. And I was like, this is awesome. And then when I was getting off of it, that was the main thing that was the barrier for me to get off of it, because I was like, what if my acne comes back? Then I realized it was a Band-Aid solution, but I don't know. It's just like, there's so little education around it. Even during like sex ed, we weren't really taught about the pill. We were just taught that it was a form of safety, you know, like it was something that you could use, but nothing about side effects, what it actually does to your body. It was like really not touched on that much.
Totally. Yeah. And like, who are we to question doctors, right? Like you go into a doctor's office. I didn't go to medical school. I don't like, of course, I don't think they're giving me the right thing. So yeah, those were kind of the things that led up to, I see as like phase one of healing, where my autoimmune disease also really, really impacted my brain. And I had really bad depression. And I was like, I don't know why I'm so depressed. Like I didn't know what was wrong with me. And a lot of it was hormonal. A lot of it was unprocessed trauma. So I think I was 14. And I said to my parents, like, I'm not doing okay. Like I need help because I don't want to feel like this anymore. And thankfully my parents were just like so supportive of me. Like they were like, yes, of course, like you're going to go to therapy. And I'm super thankful for that because I know a lot of people do not have that experience. And I had this really phenomenal therapist who told me to just pour all of my pain basically into writing and just help me kind of unpack all the stuff that had happened to me. And I still had my autoimmune disease that was pretty much like not regulated at the same time. So around the time I was 18, I was like, okay, I'm going to go self-healing mode because what I've been doing is just not working for me. And I was so tired I was tired all the time. Like I slept all the time. My hair was falling out. My eyelashes were thin. I didn't really get to do a lot of normal like teenage things just because I was like, I never had the energy. I never felt good. And it was a combination of my struggle with eating and also my struggle with my health. So I had seen a bunch of different doctors for my autoimmune stuff, and all the medication that I had been given just like didn't do it alone for me. And I'm still on medication today. I have a really great doctor now, but really diet and seeing food as a form of medicine was a huge shift in my life. And I found that out literally just by like researching about my autoimmune disease and finding like a bunch of health podcasts where I learned about inflammatory foods and I learned about just all the things I could be adding in to support my health. And I was like, this is so cool, because before that, it was always like, how can I restrict more? How can I take out? How can I it was a totally new dialogue where it's like, how can I move my body in a way that I enjoy and not to just burn calories? So I see like phase two of healing as me just getting really into seeing food as a form of medicine, which is what it is. And that helped my hormones so, so much. Like I felt like an entirely new person. I started going for walks by the ocean too, just because you know, the mental and the physical and the spiritual, like it's all so connected. I'm such a believer in holistic health. So it was like, okay, what is healing for my mind? What is healing for my body? What is healing for my spirit? And really just like shifting like the root of thinking that I need to be fixed to rather like, no, like I need to heal. There's nothing wrong with me. I just need to like focus on feeling better, you know?
That's so interesting. I feel like a theme throughout these chapters is like your body and how just you haven't felt fully connected to it. And it's crazy because we think that like mental health is just the mind, you know, the body has nothing to do with it, but it's literally like so interconnected. And you can even tell like when I had like gut health problems, my mental health was so bad. And I was just like, now reflecting back on it, I'm like, of course it was bad. Like there was still toxins in my body. And, you know, that's connected with your mind and your mental health. So do you feel like A, getting a diagnosis helped with that sort of uncertainty? Because I think for me, I just want a label. Like I just want something, whether I have the flu or whether IBS or whatever gut problems I was going through, I was like, I just want that label to kind of then give me more bandwidth to think about other things instead of, well, what could it be? And like going down this rabbit hole of researching. Yeah, I'm curious if it was the same for you, because it seems like after the research really helped you feel even more connected to your body, and you leveraged that to shift the mentality to be like, what can we add instead of what can we remove?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a diagnosis is so, so helpful, because it's like, oh, like here's what's underneath, you know? And I don't think that a diagnosis should ever define anyone or limit anyone. I think it's more just like, okay, like I'm just understanding a little bit deeper about what's going on with me. And it's like, for me, I didn't get diagnosed with hypothyroidism and PCOS until 2 years after like struggling with sleeping all the time, my hair falling out, weight gain, all of the symptoms. And they were just like, you're depressed. And I'm like, yeah, I am. But like, there's something else going on. Like there's something more. And so I really think also like you are your own biggest advocate. And I look back on my younger self and I'm just so proud of her, because I was like, I'm not okay. And I know there's something more. And I was just like, I always spoke my truth, I guess. I don't know. Like, I remember being at this doctor's office and she was like, I don't think you're following a diet close enough. And I was 13 years old. And my mom was like, no, I watch everything she eats. If anything, she's under eating. Like, this is not normal for her to be eating this amount, but then feel like her like gaining weight still. And the doctor was like, well, you just like, you need to cut more calories. And at the time, I was eating 1200 calories a day, which is not even enough for like a child. And so just like that rigid structure of things having to be so strict was, it really messed up my mindset at a young age. So I think like it's been years and years of like untraining myself from thinking that way, and just learning that I can see things in an abundance mentality with food. Like, oh, look at all these like colorful nutrients I get to eat. And also I'm allowed to have a donut when I want to have a donut. And there's no like, things don't have to be so black and white.
Yeah, that's a big theme for me too, is like living in that gray and allowing yourself to live in that gray, because I don't know, even black and white thinking is part of depression when you just think it's going to be the worst case scenario or it's going to be the best. Like having those extremes is really emotionally taxing on anyone. But I like what you said about going from a mentality where everything is like strict and not flexible. Do you think delving into art and writing and sort of creative expression helped you then live that truth? And like when you write, for example, do you just let things come out free flowing? Or when you paint, is it a practice for you to not be restrictive and like keep that maintained over life?
Absolutely. I love that question so much, because I think we hear about healing all the time and we hear about honestly, wellness and health, and people don't talk enough about how creative expression is probably just as important for you as doing a Pilates class or eating well. You know, like, I think it's being connected to your, that side of you. It's a practice, and it's not, I used to think that some people were just born creative. Like, some people are just naturally more inclined towards things. And I think to an extent, maybe some people might be better at something, but it's really just a practice. And all of us are creative, and all of us are, can do all of these like healing modalities, like playing the piano or painting or writing. Like, there's no rules for having to be an artist to do it, to do those things. So I think, like, above everything else, doing everything I do for my younger self has just helped me so much. And my younger self loved to create. She loved to do art. So it's more just like channeling the emotions that I feel. Like, if I'm sad, I'm going to pour that into painting. If I'm angry, I'm going to run. If I'm feeling very dreamy and starry-eyed, then maybe I'll write for a little bit. It's just knowing like which tool from my toolbox I want to pull out. And I think that creativity for me is probably my biggest one.
Yeah, for sure. So it seems like you were really creative when you were younger, and you're sort of coming back to that. So is that sort of a way for you to heal your inner child and kind of nurture her? And if so, are there other things you do that also help you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that saying, your relationship with yourself affects all others. I think just being someone who keeps promises to myself and also just treats myself well is the number one way I can show up for my inner child. And our inner child is just the most raw version of us before the world told us who to be. It's who we came into the world as before all the conditioning and the limiting beliefs. And it's so simple to connect with your inner child. Like, I will just ask myself, what do I really need? Like, what do I really need right now? And not what do I want? And it's really simple. Like, for me, going out in nature, walking barefoot at the beach, my inner child loved playing in the ocean, loved just being like messy and just like really silly. So I'm like, okay, how can I invite that into my adult life in a way that I'll enjoy and I'll have fun? And that's like my favorite thing in the world, like seeing people's inner child come out. How do you connect to your inner child?
Honestly, I feel like it's the whole living without restrictions piece. Cause when I was younger, if I painted something, I didn't care if it was the best painting ever. And like, again, that goal-oriented mindset where everything has to be a certain way. And also, like, hobbies can just be hobbies. You don't have to monetize them. You don't have to like make it this whole thing. I've been trying to do more things that I'm just like bad at, and for the sake of, you know, being creative. And I feel like when I was younger, I would use my hands a lot. I would go to summer camp and like make bracelets or like do pottery. And so I'm just trying to do more tactile things. And whether it's, that's also like going barefoot on the ground and really like connecting and just, yeah, connecting with that tactile sensation, which I don't think we get enough of if we're sitting at a desk all day or roaming through life. I really have been enjoying like painting and pottery, and just, I know I'm not good at it, but I also don't care anymore. And I'm really trying to hone in on that I don't care, but it's fun mentality.
There's no good at being at art too. I think that's such a huge misconception, because you go to galleries and I'll see art and I'll be like, I don't like that. Like, I would never buy that. But then someone standing next to me might be like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And so I think like removing that, having to be good at things or seeing things as good, is so powerful with art. Cause then you can just, you know, you're just creating from the heart, and just doing things for the sake of expression and not for a desired outcome. It's so great.
Yeah, for sure. And even when people do come out with books or pieces of art, I think it's an amazing sign that not everybody likes it, because it's just, that's the subjective piece of it. And you can tell then that that artist was really creating for themselves, like regardless of what people thought. You know, I think part of being a creator online is really difficult because there's a whole numbers game, and you know, how many views did my TikTok get, or how many followers do I have? And so it kind of puts some contingencies on creating, because it's hard not to think about how well something will perform. And so how do you disconnect yourself from, I want to create a piece of content because that's what's calling to me and that is where my creative expression is flowing right now, and ignoring the noise, which I don't think we can ever fully ignore it, but how do you maybe quiet it a bit?
Yeah, I think just knowing my intention going into things is always coming from a pure place. Like, what is my intention with the content that I'm putting out? Is it for it to go viral? It'd be great if it went viral, but I really, most of my content is for healing. So I just think, like, is this helping someone? Is this something that my younger self could have used? I always refer back to like my younger self, because I honestly think at 17, like, I kind of had it figured out. Like,
yeah.
When I was like 17, like, she thought she could do anything. She was,
oh my gosh. 17 was like, you're so carefree, but also so brave. You're like, just thinking about, I don't know, 25, you're like, oh my gosh, that's so old. I'm going to have everything figured out by then. Meanwhile, I'm like thinking about 17 and I'm like, I was a little baby who didn't know a single thing. It's just so funny to look back on it.
There's that one Phoebe Bridgers and Taylor Swift song, and it's like, how did I know everything at 18 and nothing at 22? And I think that's so true, because the logical brain starts to like kick in as you get older and you're like, whoa, like, who am I to do this? Or just like those types of mentalities. And I think, like, going back to how do you post things without fear of just like failing? Like, I think that's what it is, right? Like, a fear of failure. If the numbers don't reflect the amount of effort you put into something, or just where you want to go, like, there are so many people online creating, so many people. And so just knowing, like, I think a lot of it is just keep going. Like, you have to just keep going and keep trying. And the video that you might not post may be the one that does perform well. And so I think, like, removing myself from like seeing the numbers as equating that to my worth, it really does come down to like confidence, I think, like confidence and self-love, and just like being so strong in your own vision. And this is something I'm working through right now, because I took honestly a really big social media break for like almost 7 months where I didn't really post anything. So like my algorithm is like totally, like, I'm not prioritized as much as I was. And just knowing that, like, all I can control is how hard I work and like how much I'm putting out. And if I'm doing things, again, like with intention and like just trying to create art rather than content, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And also, like, for me, I just try not to force creativity ever, because it's something that it can't be forced. It's really like, it has to come to you. You have to feel it in a way that it's like intuitive and it really is just calling to you. And in the past, I have forced it and I've been like annoyed with myself because I can't think of an idea, or like, it's just not coming together. And it's because creativity doesn't work that way. And it's something that I've come to realize. And also, like you said, embracing that what you're creating and those intentions are really the only things you can control. And if it does well, it does well. And if it doesn't, it's not a reflection of how much heart you put into it and how good it felt to make it. Because sometimes there are pieces of content I make and I feel damn good about it, and maybe it doesn't perform well, but I was like, honestly, that was art to me. And that's kind of all that matters.
Absolutely. I love that so much. I think too, like when you're proud of something you put out, there's less of that, like, oh, that should have like performed well. Like, yeah, you might feel that way, but also there's so many algorithms and weird things that go into why things do well on social media. And if it was a matter of like how good what you put out was, then all of the like most talented artists in the world would be the top people on social media, and they're not. Like, there's so much that goes into it. So I think like just knowing that like numbers don't equate to your worth in any area of your life. Your weight doesn't equate to your worth. Your number of followers doesn't equate to your worth. And just like, I don't know, I've had this in my head for 2 weeks. So I think that's why it keeps coming up. But the other day I was texting my boyfriend and I was like, this is so weird. Like my videos, like, I don't know if I'm shadow banned, but I'm like not getting the same amount of views I was getting. And I was just kind of getting in my head, like, oh, am I like not creating things that are as good? And he was like, just keep going. And that's all you can do. So I just like keep that in my head, like, just keep going.
Yeah, that's such a good, easy piece of advice, because even I've seen several things that have helped me. One is like, okay, say if a video gets 30 views, you're like, oh my gosh, it did so bad. But then you're like, think about 30 people in a room watching your video. And then it just puts it into perspective and you're like, okay, 30 people is a lot to just be viewing something you created. So there's that in terms of like just putting numbers into perspective. And then there's also the piece that like you can be creating, and it's doing so poorly or it's not doing as well as you want. And then you're at the tip of the iceberg where maybe the next video you post, the next piece of content, it's the one that really resonates with people, or the algorithm finally like figures its shit out. And like, if you don't keep going, you're not going to know if you were at the tip of the iceberg, and if you just kept going, it could have been there.
The one. Yeah.
Not that that's like the goal, but it's just like the mentality of when you get discouraged.
I think like the thing that always kind of calms me down is like, there were so many artists that didn't even get famous until after their deaths. Like, there's so
true
people who their writing was like, I think of like Sylvia Plath, like she really wasn't fully recognized for what she did until after she died. And now it's like, she's one of the most famous literary women ever.
That's so true. Was that like also the case with Shakespeare? Like, were those things like published after he died?
I'm not sure about Shakespeare, but I know it, like I've heard it with so many artists, like musicians. It's not even just like one type of art. So like,
yeah,
that's the way I just kind of see it, is like, do I believe in what I'm creating, and do I love it? Do I approve of myself? And like, once you have that self-approval, then the numbers don't affect you as much, I think.
100%. So during your social media break, for me, I often go through creative ruts, like I was saying, when maybe I force myself to be creative, or I'm like, honestly, I don't want to be on social media right now. And I think creative ruts are very natural and to be expected, because creativity is finite. I don't think we can keep running and running unless, like, I don't know, you have the bandwidth for it. A lot of us are doing multiple things at a time. And so if I'm at my desk all day doing schoolwork, I'm just like, honestly, my brain capacity to be creative is at an all-time low. I can't do this. So were you in a creative rut? And what do you do when you are in creative ruts? Like, do you just wait it out? It's kind of like an emotion where you're like, I just feel it and let it pass. Or are there things where you're like, okay, I'm ready again, but it's not clicking for me right now?
Yeah, I think I'm someone who like naturally, I wake up every day and I pull inspiration from everything around me. Like, I'll be on my morning walk and I'll be like, wow, the textures of that one plant are really cool. I'm going to see if maybe I can, with my pastels later, try to recreate that. Like, I'm very always just like observing the world around me and like kind of thinking of like how I can make something similar or just gain inspiration from that. But I definitely have had seasons in my life where I'm just so incredibly drained that I don't want to create. And so my creative rut, like my really big one that I had recently, wasn't even a creative rut. It was a not wanting to share anything, not wanting to really like actually even put in the time to put things together. Like I had just graduated college. I was looking for a job. And so I was like a full-time student looking for a job doing social media full-time, which like I'm on all the social media channels. Like I'm doing TikTok, I'm doing my podcast. I'm so just like my energy going in a million different directions at once. And I got COVID about a year ago, like right after I graduated. And I got COVID the week I started my new job working 9 to 7. And my body was just like, please let us rest. Like, please let us rest. Just like go slow for a second. No more like trying to film everything and post everything. And sometimes I think seasons of your life are for turning inwards. And then I think others are sharing. So I feel like right now I'm in like a sharing season. I'm like ready to create like all the time, so much energy in that way. But at the time, I really had to be like, okay, is this self-love to continue to be kind of like working myself into the ground essentially? And it wasn't. So I dialed back. I read a lot of books because for me, that's like a very gaining inspiration and also restful activity. Like I love reading so much. I read like when I need to rest, I read like a good fiction book. So I think just like really separating the time that I was working and resting and not trying to get myself to like keep going. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like rested for like, I joke, it was like my summer of rest and relaxation because I just like rested the entire summer. Like I didn't, not really rested. Like I still had like a 9 to 7 job, but it felt like resting compared to what I was doing. So like, I think when you're in a creative rut, just asking yourself, like, why am I so drained? Or like, why am I lacking inspiration? And usually it's because you're lacking energy or you're lacking like newness in your life. Like a lot of times I'm like, maybe I just need to go on a trip. Like,
I know. Yeah. It's so true. Whenever I come back from a trip, I'm like, I am ready to go. I'm so inspired. I'm like out of my bubble. I think living in that almost like simulation, like routine where you're just in and out every day and then weeks go by. And I don't know, for me, I'm just like, well, how many times can I film my morning routine? Like we get it. It's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah,
and
we know you use gouache, like, you know, like,
yeah, like the point is there. And so then it's the intentionality that comes in too, where I'm like, what is the purpose behind this content? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, yes, it can be silly. I'm all for that. And sometimes I just want it to be like a more lighthearted thing, but overall, like the pattern of my content, I do want it to have some meaning and some purpose. And it's really funny. I like ran into somebody earlier today at a coffee shop and we don't know each other that well, but we like follow each other. And he was like, your content always just makes me feel a little better. Like it just makes me feel good. I was like, honestly, that is the only goal I could have. If you feel 1% better, I just don't want you feeling worse. And I want to have some sort of substance or meaning or just any inspiration that can come from it. And yeah, I don't really know where I was going with this point, but I think it's that intentionality that comes back when I'm in a creative rut, like reminding myself of my purpose. And if I need some more time to look inward to then come back to that purpose, then yeah, like social media breaks are so underrated. And I just think because many of us have a lot of passions, it also feels like we have to go 100% for all those passions at a time. And then, like you said, it's going to come to a point where either your body gives out or your mind gives out and you're like, okay, now I have to fully cut one out for a little bit and then come back to it.
Absolutely. And I think that's so sweet. Like, I
know, I was like, you made my day.
Yeah. When I watch your content, I feel the same way. You're just a very comforting person to just like witness existing. So like, don't get hard on yourself if you don't feel like you're I know that pressure to feel like you have to be bringing something to the table that's meaningful all the time, but just mm-hmm. even seeing you like go and get your coffee in the morning, like that's comforting. And I think ultimately, like, as what both of us are doing is like, we want people to feel less alone. And so just like bringing that intention into everything you do, which I've had times where I don't make content where I feel like I'm doing that. And I've kind of been like, what are you doing right now? Like, what, like, why are you posting something like this? Cause this doesn't really feel like you, and it doesn't really feel intentional. And I think that's where like, I just am someone who I don't feel the need to hop on every trend online. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, who knows, maybe the numbers would be better if I did, but I think that's really important for people who are trying to create content, like create from your heart and create with intention, and you'll be so proud of like what you put out, and you won't feel so like, but I followed this trend and used this sound, why is it not doing well, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I know trends are a slippery slope, because if it does go viral, was that really what you wanted to go viral for? And is that why you want people to follow you? It's a really like one and done. Yes, you can get a lot of followers and views and stuff, but I think the consistent creativity of like what you actually want to put out is going to build that engaged community who's like, yes, I'm here for you. Whatever you put out there, I've been here for like a while. So I love that so much. On the topic of like creativity and healing, I know we talked about creative ruts. I remember I also like earlier in this conversation talked about how I thought healing was a goal, and like when you get to it, you're done. So that was a misconception that I came to realize. Were there any misconceptions that you came to in your journey through healing and creativity and all of this, that you can kind of reflect on today?
Yeah. First of all, I love all the questions you've asked. I think they're so thoughtful and just like lead to really great conversations. So I appreciate just the time that you've put into this. But
God, of course.
I think like I used to think healing had to look a certain way. And I don't even think I mentioned this, but layer three, like my like third really big part of my healing journey this far, because I'm still on it, I think was, I was teaching yoga in college. That was like a really healing practice for me, but I was living a really rigid lifestyle. Like I was very like, I'm only going to eat clean. I didn't really drink or go out, which like, I was like 20 years old, 21 years old, like baby, go out to a bar, have fun. Like,
yeah,
I missed out on so many years of my life, which it's such a bummer, but I think like I used to think that I had to be fully healed in order to just like live my life. And I definitely think like I missed out on a lot. So when I was 21, I went through a pretty just like significant breakup where I was with someone who didn't really treat me well. And I stayed because I just didn't have high self-worth. And this was like during COVID, so a few years ago. And I was like, you know what? Actually, I deserve more than this. Like I deserve better than this. And once I left that relationship, I kind of was like, applied it to all areas of my life. Like I deserve to enjoy my life. I deserve to go out and have drinks with friends. And I don't have to live this super rigid lifestyle that's especially like in my yoga teacher training, so much of the stuff I learned was surrounding like purity and like not everything has to be so perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, one of the most healing things you can do is go and like spend time with friends or, you know, try something new. Like you have to go out and live your life. I get so much inspiration from reading memoirs. Like I read self-help books sometimes, but I feel like I've learned more about healing from hearing other people's stories than anything. So like, just remember, like you don't have to put living on hold mm-hmm. until you're fully healed. life is about experiencing and learning from those experiences. You don't have to have it all figured out, which not a lot of people talk about.
I love that so much. It kind of goes hand in hand with just like perfectionism. This is such a like silly example, but for me, I got a cat recently and I was just like, I need it to be a time in my life where I'm not too busy because then I can take care of her and like bond with her and whatever. And then my friend Noam, she was like, it's never going to be a perfect time. Like you're just waiting for life to get busier and you're just going to have another excuse. So it was kind of that like impulsive, like pull the trigger, you know, just it happened. But I think the same thing can be applied to healing where it's like, if you're waiting for that perfect time, it's just going to pass and you're going to get more busy. And there's like those seasons of your life, like you were mentioning, where maybe you are ready later to like go out and have fun and all of that, but then it's not calling to you anymore. And it was restrictive before and kind of not as flexible. So I love that you said that so much. And just speaking of like reading and memoirs, because like that's been such a theme in this episode too. I've been off my reading game for so long, partly because of school and because I'm reading so much for school. And it's very like academic and a bit dry, to be honest, but I'm like, I can't read more after sometimes. I'm just like, honestly, like I've been staring at a screen, I've been staring at my iPad, whatever it is. But when I was younger, I was such a reader. I literally would always have a book in my hand and I feel like I've lost touch with that a bit. I know there's so many people who like give tips for reading and all of that, but do you have any tips when you maybe go out of your reading phase? I don't know if you've ever been out of it because it seems like you're really into reading, but
no, I've been out of it.
Anything that kind of helps
for sure.
You.
Well, I mean, like, I think it goes back to like, I had to reconnect with that side of myself that loved creativity and that loved like just learning. And I have such bad ADHD. So like sitting down and doing something for a long time can be really hard for me. Like especially reading, like I understand when people are like, I can't read. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. So I think first, like ask yourself, like, am I reading this because it's productive or like, I think I'm supposed to read it, or like, do I actually enjoy it? Because I love reading fiction. Like I'm reading a fiction book right now. It's called Mary Jane and I'm loving it so much. Like this morning, I'm not even gonna lie, like I spent an hour and a half this morning reading it. It's just like such a long time.
Yeah.
Reading a book in the morning.
I love that.
But I just like genuinely enjoy it. And so like, it's the same thing with like movement and food. Like first, like, are you enjoying those things? And then also like not being so hard on yourself if you're not like making progress in the book as fast mm-hmm. as you want to. Or like the way I get myself, I guess, to read every day, because there are times where I don't feel like it, is every night before bed, like 45 minutes before bed, I'll just like turn off my electronics, just go get a book out. And sometimes like the first 15 minutes of me reading, my brain is like going a million different directions. But once I get into a flow of it, it's kind of like anything else. It's like the first 10 minutes of your workout are always the hardest, or like, mm-hmm. you know, just like getting into a flow of things. It's just like meditating where it's like a practice. So like, just read for like 5 minutes. And if you guys need book recs, I can give a few book recs. So memoirs that I really like, I love Anything by Joan Didion. She's one of my favorite memoir writers. She also writes like, she's written screenplays and mm-hmm. but those aren't my favorite as much. And Eve Babbitt's, because both of them write a lot about living in LA, romanticize LA to its fullest. And there's a lot of like famous people that kind of come in and out of their books, and it's based on the truth, or it is the truth, which is just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I love them. I love Patti Smith. I love poetry because I love to write poetry. So I like Mary Oliver. She's a really great writer. Yeah, just going to the bookstore and like looking, like choosing your genre, right? And then looking like at the book, and if it's like a full body yes, like when you pick it out and you read the cover, go for that one and don't go for the one that you think you're like supposed to be reading.
Right.
I don't know if that's helpful.
No, that's super helpful. Cause I think sometimes when we see wellness content and everything everyone is doing, it's like, okay, have your lemon water, meditate, read your books. And it's like this never ending, like I have to do this. And so what you just mentioned about, well, see if you actually want to read that book. Like not every book has to be a self-help book where you are constantly improving yourself. Cause I think, I don't know, just going back to the healing conversation, you don't always have to be healing. Sometimes no. You could just read a book for fun. And, you know, it goes back to everything we've been talking about with creativity and just doing things for the sake of doing them. But yeah, that's really helpful. I think part of it for me is it's like hard to remember what it feels like to read a good book until you then read a good book and you're like, wow, this was worth it. And it's the same thing with working out. When you do it and you feel good in your body, you're like, I want to do this again just because like it felt good. So I need to find that book that like gets me back into it and like gets the ball rolling because I do quite miss it.
Yeah.
So those are really helpful.
Just seeing it as like, I think everything in life is such a practice. And so like just seeing it as a practice and like nothing more than that. There's no pressure around it. And I know a lot of people who don't like to sit down and read or listen. Like my boyfriend listens to audiobooks and goes on walks, or like sometimes when I'm cleaning, I'll put on an audiobook. And that's such a great way to like, you're still hearing a story, you know?
Yeah, of course. That's such a, also a good tip if you want to like just dip your foot in the water and then maybe sit down later. I used to subway a lot more before living downtown. So I would always read on the subway, but now I don't really take the subway. And I'm like, I think I just need to shift the environment. Like it doesn't have to be on the subway. It can also be in bed or wherever else. But yeah, that's super helpful. I feel like I could talk to you for hours about so, so much. but yeah, it was so nice having you on. Before saying goodbye, if you want to just say your username for like Instagram, TikTok, like any platform, you mentioned your podcast earlier, so I'll definitely link that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. This is such a great conversation. My Instagram is at Sian Camille. It's SianCamille. And my TikTok is the same. And then my podcast is Apricity. Go check it out. I have a new episode coming out this week. So
that's so exciting. Before you go, I realized I forgot to do this. So I ask every guest this question. What does health mean to you in as little words, as many words, whatever you want to define it as?
I love that question. I see health as like, it's the whole person. Like it's the balance between the mind, the body, and the spirit. And yeah, that's it.
I mean, that's very on theme with like your healing journey and just how you came to a place where you felt the best in your body. It was kind of that imbalance, right? So I love that. It's very holistic.
It's about feeling good.
Yeah. Honestly, sometimes the most simple way of looking at something is really the way to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. What is your definition of health?
I think it, like, cause I think about it every time I ask a guest and I'm like, is it the same? But what I keep coming back to is just like being at peace with yourself, whether that's your body, whether that's like your mental health, but like that feeling of inner peace is when I'm just like, things are going well and I feel healthy.
I love that.
Yeah, it was so nice talking to you. If
you, too.
You don't follow Sian already, then you must, because there's so much like wisdom that comes from you. I feel like you are so mature for your age. Even when me and James, like we went on that double date with you and Cole, I told James like how old you were, and he was like, no way. Like she is like so mature and everything. So yeah, like really wise beyond your years.
Thank you. I feel like I'm a very old soul. Do you feel that way too?
About you or about myself?
About yourself.
Yes, I feel that because I think the way you were saying you feel things deeply, I feel things deeply too. And I think I just like can get lost in my thoughts. Like I literally could do that all day if I wanted to. So that's why I need the creative outlets, like writing, like creating content, or else I can just literally sit and think about everything.
Yeah. And you have a lot to share too. You have a lot to say, which is like probably because you've been here many times before.
Yeah, for sure. But I also love like having these kinds of conversations because it just opens, you know, my perspective to different things and different tools. And like, now I want to go read a memoir. So
yeah,
very
amazing. You do.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to be like texting you after for more recommendations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Have a great rest of your day. And yeah, we'll chat later.
You too. Bye.
Bye.